Everybody can hear me, right? Yeah? Okay, good. So we began the sugya of Lo Sase Shekad Mo Aseh and the distinctions between that and a Rav Shenitak Laaseh, which the assumption is there is no Malkus, and Rav Yochanan's Machadesh, that Lo Sase Shekad Mo Aseh is different. What does Kad Mo Aseh mean? The two ideas that can be relevant for Kad Mo Aseh is the way it's written in the Torah, and also the possibility that it could be fulfilled without having violated the law. That's what Rashi seems to emphasize. And we had different ways that you could understand whether it's both ideas need to be there in order to make it Kad Mo Aseh, whether one by itself would make it Kad Mo Aseh, and which one. Either way, the assumption in the Gemara is that the Isser of Tamei Likanes HaMikdash, where the Torah says in our parasha Naso, Vishalchum in Amachane, V'lo Yitamus Machaneyem, that is considered a lav shekadmo asay, and yet we find that there is malchus, like we have in our Mishnah, and that's why one would certainly defend Rabbi Yochanan's statement. But when the question was posed, either to Rabbi Yochanan, as Rashi learns, or to Rabbi Barachana, as the Ritva learns, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this halacha? And the answer was no. He felt back, he didn't want to acknowledge that that halacha is correct. So now the Gemara asks, why is that? Elamai taima kohader bay. Why was he, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rashi, why was he chozer? Why did he not, in fact, hold like he was saying that Rav Shekad Moseh gets Malkus? And for the Gemara, Mishim Dekasha Le'onis. Mishim Dekasha Le'onis. His problem was what we find regarding the story, the din of Onis. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? Nara Besula. We find the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisetse that if a person is ma'anes, he rapes a nara besula. So the Torah says that there's a knas that he has to pay in terms of money, and there's also a halacha that he must marry the woman. And the Torah expresses that halacha with two different expressions, with nase and with a lo sase. The Torah writes it as follows: the ashkechan be lo sase shekha ase. There you have a lo sase. Shekadmo aseh, tichsiv, v'lo siya li'isha, lo yucha l'shalcha. So the Torah tells us, number one, that he must marry her, and number two, he may not, as a lav, he may not divorce her. Obviously, you understand on some level that the Torah is concerned for the protective kavod of the woman who was raped, because after this happened, think about the times of the Torah and earlier periods of history, no one would want to marry her. She wouldn't have any protection in that regard. And therefore, the Torah says that at least this person will have to marry her. He may not divorce her. The Sugis and Ksubis tell us, of course, if she refuses, she doesn't want, it's not going to be against her will. If she says, lo be'ina, Tosis will quote that here also. If she says, lo be'ina, then of course we don't make the person marry her. But if there's a desire for this Nar Besula to get a husband, so the Torah imposes this obligation on the man, and this is an obligation no matter what, whether he likes to stay with her and marry her or not. Oftentimes the person rapes a woman and, you know, like we find Amnon and Tamar, and afterwards he's disgusted. So the Torah says, no, your obligation is in place. You have to marry, you have to take care of her like a Jewish man takes care of a Jewish woman. So that's the mitzvah of lo siya li'isha. The Torah says, lo siya li'isha, lo yucha l'shalcha. Now, we're going to now read the Braisa. Rashi gives us the heads up. The Tanya Allah, she kaim esaseh im girsha, the yachzirena, the yiftor. Amalav shenitak aseh chashiv leh. In other words, we're now about to read the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? The Sanya. Ones shegirish. So again, the person did an aveira. So in other words, the lav was violated. What was the lav? The lav was lo yuchal l'shalcha. So in other words, he did the assay of marrying her, and now he divorced her. So he violated Yuchal Shalcha. Says the Braisa, in Yisrael, who, if this person is allowed to marry a Grusha, he's Yisrael, so he must take her back, the Enoloka, and when he takes her back, that would absolve him of Malkus. In other words, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah by taking her back. That would be Mekuyim of the mitzvah of Siya Le'isha, and that mitzvah would require him to remarry her after divorcing her. That's by Israel. And Kohen who lo kebeinu mazir. A Kohen, on the other hand, since he's not allowed to marry a grusa, isha grusa me isha lo yikachu. So in the case, the option of remarrying her is not available to him. And therefore, there, the lav would be a basis for the malchus. We'll have to see more carefully this line about Kohen, exactly why we say that there is no option of marrying her. What about the notion of an aseh dochalosa aseh? If there is, in fact, an aseh in place that exists in general, so let that aseh also work for the Kohen to be docha the lav. That's the shaila that Tosfos will bring up. Also, you can also ask another variation of that question. In other words, what exactly is the issur of grusha l'kohen? The Gemara says if he's mekadesh her and he's boel her, and he kidesh u'boel. What about this kohen? Let him be mekadesh the woman, and not be boel. So it could be that that would be a kima mitzvah either. It's another interesting question. In other words, is your kima glosia l'isha if he doesn't actually have intimacy with her? Okay, l'maisa, it's clear the kohen's options are limited, and he gets malchus, and we have to see this more for itself. But we quote the whole brisa, but the focus is the first part, that Israel is able to be off the hook for malchus by taking the woman back and be mekayim the aseh. Ask the Gemara, this is the point. In Yisrael, who, mazre in aloke, how can we say what you just said? After all, am I, lo sase shekadmo asehu. This is a lo sase shekadmo asei. And this is what Rashi was bringing in. Let's go again and see in the Rashi. Rashi says, the Tanya Allah, that middle of that Rashi we started, the Tanya Allah, she kaimes aseim girsha v'yazlirena, the yiftor, al mulav she nitakasei chashebe. We're considering this a nitakasei and not to be viewed as distinct from nitakasei because of kadmo asei. Im Yisrael hu she yachol kaimes aseim v'yazlirena, if he's allowed to remarry her, mavzir be'en alok, and koin hu she asli v'grusha alok be'en al mavzir, then he gets malchus. If Rabbi Yochanan it were correct, so then how could there be the option of mazda be'en aloke? It shouldn't help you because it's a lo sase shekadmo aseh. This is why Rabbi Yochanan was chose because of this problem. Let's explain why is this a lo sase shekadmo aseh? What's the lo sase? Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yama. What's the assay that he's mekayim when he's mafzir her and he's therefore not getting malchus, says the Braisa? The assay of velosia li'isha. Now, why is that a little, first of all, maybe before even discussing why it's a kadmo assay, why is this an assay at all to take her back? Where do we see bechal in the Torah that there's an assay to remarry? I mean, let's be very simple about it. The Torah says, lo yuchal, lo siya li'isha, lo yuchal l'shalcha. In order to talk about kadmo aseh, let's take the simple pshat of kadmo aseh, yeah? The kadmo aseh means that it's written first, right? It's written first in the Torah. The other pshat is you could have fulfilled it before the lav, right? Those are the two ways to understand kadmo aseh. But all of that is assuming that when you do it afterwards, you're also the kind of the aseh. Right? Let's imagine the assay was limited to the point of before, then bechlal, the problem is not just the problem of kadmo assay, that how can it be mavzav eino loke? The problem is, according to everybody, what kind of assay do you have here to be patur from malchus? Right? We both say, you hear my problem. Where does it say in the Torah that you have a mitzvah to take her back? That doesn't get addressed in Rashi. That seems to be a davar pashut. The Gemara is going to end up, the whole Hemshacha Gemara that we're now going to read is going to end up trying to find an inference in the Pasuk that's going to directly speak to an assay afterwards, and that's going to answer the problem of Kadmo assay. But before we get to that point, we don't know that there's any special inference in the Pasuk that teaches us the mitzvah for the onus to remarry. No, if there's no special inference for an assay that comes after the fact, then the only thing you're going to fall back on is Lo Siya Li'isha. So, lo siya li'isha could mean that right after the act of the aveira, after he rapes her, the Torah says he has to marry her. Then the Torah says, "Voyuchal l'shalcha." Now he violates the lav. Now we're discussing remarrying her. Where do you see any indication that he has a chiyuv to remarry her? I'll give you a mashal. We touched on this before with regard to Rabbi Yehuda's shita by the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Right, the Mishnah later on Daf Yezayin, also at the end of Chulin Kuf Memalef, the Mishnah says the machokes a chacham Rabbi Yehuda anoto aim al habanim. Rabbi Yehuda says loke ve'ena mishaleach. The chachamim say mishaleach ve'ena loke. So the chachamim, we understand, the chachamim hold that even though he violates the lav by being noto the aim, but there's no malchus because what do? You're mishaleach. You do the aseh, shaleach the shalach, which the chacham assume exists as a mitzvah after the lav was violated. So then he does the aseh and he's parted from malchus. That's nitak aseh. The aseh parted you from the malchus. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that he gets malchus. Lo gebe ena mishaleach. So the Gemara explains in Chulin, on this Mishnah where it appears in Chulin also, Rabbi Yehuda holds shaleach neikara mashma. That the mitzvah shaleach tisharach is going on the beginning of the story, not after you violate lo sikach, but when you chance upon this nest, the Torah tells you the following. You have a lo sikach, there's a lab of lo sikach, there's an aseh of shaleach tisharach. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a mitzvah shaleach tisharach beforehand as well as after? And that's why there's going to be malchus, because it can't count as nitzak aseh, because the mitzvah also was before. That's apparently how the Ritzvah assumed in Rabbi Yehuda. You remember the very beginning of the sugya, we spoke at that Ritzvah, but we noted that L'chaira, one can understand the pashtus of the Gemara very differently, and that's how it seems from other Mekoros, other sources, other Rishonim, that L'fishitas Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah shaliach t'shalach is only, exclusively, at the beginning of the story. Not because Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could also mekayim it before, and therefore it becomes a kadmo aseh, and we're tying ourselves the shita of Rabbi Yochanan here in Asugya, Kadmo Aseh, getting Malchus. No, no, no. Leave that whole issue out. For all we know, Kadmo Aseh and Nitak Aseh are all the same. But one thing should be clear. Kadmo Aseh means that the mitzvah was written before, the mitzvah could have been fulfilled before, but after the law was violated, there is a mitzvah that you're doing. But let's imagine you have an Aseh that only discussed the situation of before the Aver was committed. Now you did the Aveira. Would anyone say, well, maybe you shouldn't get Malchus because I'm doing the mitzvah that existed before I did the Aveira? There's no mitzvah right now. The mitzvah was only before. Rabosa, you follow me, yeah? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pashtus and the sugya there in Chulin would seem to say, shaleach meikara mashma, which means that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is no mitzvah of shaleach tisharach after you violate the lo sikach. In other words, you don't have any obligation according to Shitas of Yehuda. The Chacham say Mishaleach ve'en aloke. There's a mitzvah say of Shalach after the Aver was violated of Shiloch HaKein. Rabbi Yehuda says the mitzvah was only beforehand. So now coming back over here, this Gemara is difficult at first glance. The Gemara is suggesting here that we have this situation of Ones that the din is stated in the Braisa of Mazir ve'en aloke. Of Magzir ve'en aloke, ask the Gemara, L'chaira, this assay that you're doing after you violate the Isser L'chal Shalcha, after divorcing the woman that you raped, so then there's a, you're doing the mitzvah of what? Of L'osio Isha, and you're not getting Malkus. Says the Gemara, wait, according to the, if you hold Los Assay Shekadmu Assay would get Malkus. So then how could this be a tikkun, and how could this be a fulfillment of nitak l'aseh, and you won't get malchus? It's a lav shekadmo aseh. In other words, again, the two possibilities of kadmo aseh, the two ideas, it's written beforehand in the pasuk. It's written first, l'osia l'isha, and then l'yichol shalcha, or the other idea that the mitzvah of l'osia l'isha didn't need the l'yichol shalcha to be fulfilled. But all of this is assuming that there is, in fact, a mitzvah afterwards. So obviously, we need to extract from this Gemara that this is not the same as Rabbi Yehuda, Shaliach Tishach of Shiloach HaKein, the way we were Mazdir, and not the Ritva, the way that we said. Rabbi Yehuda, Shaliach Tishach, is Meikar Mashma, exclusively Meikar. But apparently, it's Mamish Meduik in this Gemara that the mitzvah itself, even before the Gemara comes to Maskana and brings a new inference in the pasuk that there's a special mitzvah after the fact, but even from the beginning of the sugya, what's clear to the Gemara, Kedavar Barur, is that the mitzvah of Losir Isha is not just a one-time mitzvah to marry her at the time initially, but the mitzvah includes to stay married to her. The mitzvah Losir Isha is not he should marry her the one time, but Losir Isha is Mechayev itself. The mitzvah Sase Losir Isha means that you have to take her as a wife and she should remain your wife. Not just the Naisa to take her as a wife, but that she should remain married to you. And therefore, after he was megarish her, so the mitzvah of Losir Isha is mechayev to take her back. So that's why it says machzir, because he's mekayim the asay of Losir Isha, that's also part of requiring him to take her back. The ein aloke, because that becomes a nitok asay. The asay is menatik belav. Okay, now we understand the playing field, right? It's the kedava pasha that Losir Isha is not just for the beginning. Oh, back to Gemara. But wait a second. Rabbi Yochanan had to step back from what he thought. How could it be that you get pater from the Malkus? This is a lav to kadmo asay. Why? Because the asay Losir Isha, which granted is mechayev you also to remarry, that she should stay married to you, and therefore you have to remarry her, but it's kadmo asay. In other words, so let's go through the pshatim. The simple reading of the Gemara, the simple Pshat of Kadmo Asay, the way Rabbi Hanano seems to say it, is the fact that it's written in the Torah first. The Asay is written before the Lag. Okay, so therefore that's the reason that you can't call it Nitok Asay. However, you must be that idea. It's written first. The Ritva understood that one of two things can make it Kadmo Asay, either being written first or the fact that you couldn't even kaim it beforehand. Well, either way, you have already the fact that it's written first. So immediately you have Kadmo Asay. According to Rashi, so Rashi is one of two possibilities, going back to Shurim ago, right? Or whatever it was, Monday, three Shurim ago. That according to Rashi, Kadmo Asay means either the only criteria is that you could have been Mekayim the Asay even before violating the Lav. No, that's certainly true over here. You could have been Mekayim the Asay of Silisha even if you didn't violate divorcing her, right? That's clear. And if that's the only issue, then that's the issue that we have to identify here. The other way to learn Rashi, the Ritva learned the Rashi the way we just mentioned, that it's only about, you know, whether you can kind of say beforehand. The other way to read Rashi, the Archaner said, is that you need two things to make it Kadmo Asay. You need number one, that was written first in the Torah, which you have over here. And you also need second criteria, that it's possible to kind of say without violating the law, which again is correct. So one way or the other, whatever criteria you're going to use to define Kadmo Asay, this is clearly a bona fide Kadmo Asay. And again, just to emphasize, but what's clear to the Gemara is that the Asay of Losir Isha speaks not only to the fact that you have to marry her initially, but speaks to the fact you have to take her back, she should stay married to you. Okay. So that's the Kasha of the Gemara, meaning to say that was Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Baba Chana's cause to be retracting what was initially stated b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, that he thought Kadmo Asay would be getting Malkus. Here you see otherwise. He was chosen. Now, just again, a pshat question before we start resolving the kasha from Ones. No, if you have a problem from the case of Ones and you want to be chosen and assume Kadmo Asay is the same as Nitok Asay, then what new problem emerges that we just read before in the Gemara? What reemerges? What we have to ask Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanan a new question. If you hold Kadmo Asay is the basis what? Not to get Malkus, then what should everyone be asking from?
Then why Balmigdash Tame?
Why Balmigdash Tame gets Malkus? Right? The Gemara a minute before says, oh, Kim Amra, that for sure it's Kadmo Asay gets Malkus based on Tamish Nechnas Migdash. Now, a minute later, the Gemara says he was chosen because of Ones. What does he do with Tamish Nechso Migdash? So, various Rishonim, Tosis, and on the days, various Rishonim, it's a question that should be obviously addressed. Just for now, because we did spend time on the Tosis yesterday, so the Ritva offers an interesting solution to this Kasha. The Ritva asks the question right here. He says, on the Dibar Maskel, the Tanina, I don't know if I gave it to you, I don't remember anymore. Tanina Abayel Migdash Tame Ikal Medak Rav Yochanan Dahadabe. Hechiluk, and also Rav Papa seems to hold that way. Rav Papa Behemshach HaAmud seems to hold that Kadmo Asay would in fact be Pater from Malkus, right? Rav Papa, so it's not a simple matter to say Kadmo Asay gets Malkus. So what about Bab Migdash Tame? We had on the Gemara Mefur Shirai from the Mishnah. To Hechiluk Kashali Hamas Nisa. Okay, so he brings one teretz from the Balamor that you have going back to the notion of le'ene le'ene that chayve krisos gets malchus. So he revives that line of Gemara earlier that we didn't know if it's stable maskana or not. Good, we have to see the Balamor maybe for itself. He wants to say any chayve krisos gets malchus based on Xeris Shava. So therefore, that takes care of the problem. Then he brings betosvos tirtzu. Tosos Tirtzu, this is not in our Tosos directly, but it's indirectly in our Tosos because the issue was raised in Tosos. Says the Ritva, we had a whole discussion about the question of granted it's Nita Glase, but the Gemara Tamura says in Davdal and Beis that one Lase is not Menatek to Lavin. And over here you have two Lavin. You have the Lav of Boitamus Machaneim plus the Lav of Amibas Losava. So the Tosfos had to give a whole spiel. The Tosfos had to give a teretz that no, but here it would be possible to menatik two lavin because it's only when the two lavin there are next to each other that it's not menatik. But here they're far away. Says the Ritva Gufa, that Gufa would be part of the machlokes here. If that answer of Tosfos is a valid answer, take a look. But Tosfos Tirtzu, the inud havisavi, the masnisin, that which it says yochayev and bal midrash tamei lamishem the kadmo asay. Elmishim diika trei lavin, and he quotes correctly the two lavin. Vayitamu v'lamigdash lo savo, and we say in Temura that lo asi asay v'akat trei lavin. You'll tell me, maybe that rule is limited to the case of Temura that there the two lavin are next to each other. V'afagav da'asam trei lavin mikurabin b'acham ruchakin. So that was what we saw in Tosus. That's not a good answer for us to say that the two lavin came in after, because here it's two lavin not next to each other. Says the Ritva, that itself would be disputed by Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Baba Chana if they hold that really Nitak Asay and Kadmo Asay are one and the same. So the answer is going to have to be that one Asay is not Menatik two Lavin, whether they're together, whether they're not together. V'hacham Ruchak and Lo Shani Lubinosa. Abu Rabba Sober, he holds, it's Rabba that was chosen there. So Rabba holds, he means here, Rabba Barba Chana Mistama, that's the one who quoted Rav Yochanan. Dishayin Yehasam Davi Mekula. I'm sorry. Rabba here means Rabba, the one who brought the Raya. I'm sorry. I take back what I said. Rabba Sober, Rabba who said Hokim Amra and the Raya, you have a Raya from there. He holds like Tosus gave it in the Teretz. Rabba Sober, Dishayin Yehasam Davi Mekula. Rabbi Namruchak and a few Trey Ravi. Okay. The time of the Hachamishim, the Kadmo Asay. A very interesting Teretz. According to Ritva, it comes out that this Nakuda that Tosus gave as a teretz to limit the rule in the Gemara Temura that one asay is not menatik two lavin to a case where the two lavin are next to each other is itself shoni b'machlokes in our Gemara. If I have a raya from the Mishnah that kadmo asay gets malchus, it's only because you hold that one asay can be menatik two lavin, they're not next to each other. But if Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Bachana, I should say, either one, was chozer from the statement and felt that Kadmo Asay is the same as Nitak Asay, so his explanation would have to be that one Asay cannot be Menatek to Lavin, whether they're together or whether they're not together. If you want to dig a little deeper in light of the lumpus of yesterday, so we might want to say the following. What's the pshat and why an Asay is not Menatek to Lavin? And why should it or shouldn't matter whether the two lavin are together or not? So we can speculate. We had a chakira. If we assume that one is not menatik two lavin because it can menatik one but not the other, so you get malchus because of the other lav, that was one way to understand it. Or one is menatik two lavin because the two lavin become, each one becomes independently stronger because of the other one, and therefore the asay can menatik anything. Possibly the nafkamina, if there be one malchus or two, Beseder, but that was the chakira. No, we wanted to say what else would hinge on this chakira. Should it matter if the two lavin are next to each other or not next to each other? In other words, if you assume that the issue is that one asay has no power at all to do anything in the face of two avin, that's where we understand the distinction Tosis made. If the two avin are separate, then already there's no real problem. The problem is only when they're reinforced by the fact that the other one is right there next to it. But if I were to assume that the problem is that you can not take one but not the other, should it matter if they're together or not together? It could be that the issue that we have in this Gemara would actually depend on that Nakuda. Okay, so that's in terms of the Ritzvah's Teretz.
Can Rabbi just repeat, please, who would hold which side in the Machlokas about whether or not it's relevant that they're smuchin?
Yeah, again, the Raya that was brought to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan by Rabba, Ha'elkim Amara, that there's a Raya that Kadmo Asay is different than Nitak Asay, that Raya is predicated on assuming that there is no issue here of Enasei Menatik Shnei Lavin, because it's only said when the two Lavin are smichi next to each other. That was the basis of Tosus Teretz. Right? And that was why he had a Raya, thinking he had a Raya to Rav Yochanan. If Rav Yochanan was chozer from this din because of Ones, or Rav Bachana was chozer from Rav Yochanan saying it because of Ones, and now he has to deal with Bala Migdash Tameh, so his answer will be, granted, mitzad kadma lasei, nitak lasei is all the same. So you shouldn't get malchus. Why do you get malchus over here? Because we say one that I say is not menatik two lavin. Either two lavin and not next to each other, doesn't matter. So why would it not matter? Because his understanding of why an asay is not menatik two lavin is that it's menatik one but not the other. So it doesn't matter. The same issue is going to be if they're far away or not far away. So just we'll come back to that chakir. I tell you, I don't know if I got to this yesterday. I don't want to get anyone too far tumult, but just it could be I didn't get to speak it out yesterday. I had an issue, if people could just literally a parenthesis right now for the sugya, just now that we're discussing it. You remember yesterday we spoke at the Stipler on the Gemara in Temura that Abaye, who was asking the question from Temura, right before the Gemara gave the Teretz, that the reason by Temur that there'll be Malkus is because of the fact that Aseis Amnatik Tulavin, Abaye had a different explanation. And his explanation was that, as Tosa said, that the Asay is a passive Asay, it's not really a Maisa, therefore it can't be a Nituk. And Tosa explains that Abaye wanted that to be another Raya, that if the Asay is not next to the Lav, if it's far away from the Lav, it also can't be a Nituk. And it's Madama Milsa La Milsa. And we asked, what's the pshantosis? What does one issue have to do with the other? Right? We spent the whole shiur yesterday on this. So the Stipler gave a pshat that Abaye's take on Nitak Lasei was that it's not pshat, it's a, you know, Abaye was saying it has to be a tikkun on the Lav, as opposed to saying that it's just the fact that it's not similar to Lav de Chasima. And that's what the two issues are going to hinge on. That if I would assume that it's simply not, it's a lot, don't get Malkus because it's not similar to Lav de Chasima, so then it doesn't matter if the assay is an active assay or passive assay, nor does it matter if the assay is next to the Lav and not next to the Lav. L'maisa, the Lav is not dumi de Lav de Chasima. That's Abaye, but you see from Timura that you get Malkus, so, and even though L'chairas, it has an assay, a passive assay, so it's not like Avda Chasima. The answer is, Nitak Lasei requires that it's a Nituk, it has to be a Tikkun, it has to be an action that can undo the Lav. And therefore, you're going to get Malkus because you don't have that in a passive mitzvah of Ayus Masi Yakodesh. And therefore, if it has to be, that it's a Tikkun for the Lav, it has to be Besamuch as well. Right? That was the Cheshvin of the Shir yesterday. So I had a simple question on this, because if that's the premise of the Gemara, so now, when the Gemara rejects Abaye's Kasha, and the Gemara says that, no, Temura is different. Really, the Asay could be far away from the Lav, right? Like we said before by the case of Magdim, Maiser, Lutruma, Magdim, Truma, Lubikurim. I, Temura, gets Malkus, not because of what you're thinking about. You're not because you're thinking that it has to be Tikkun, the Kumba Asay. But the issue is, one assay is not menatik to Lavin. Now, the way the Stipler read the sugya, now we have to revisit what that means in the Gemara. that one asay is not menatik to lavin. Until now, the way to understand it was that the asay is coming, is stepping in, stepping up to the plate, as it were, and it's menatik. Or it's not menatik. It's menatik alav, but it can't be menatik to lavin. Either because it can do one, it can't do the other, or because it can't do either one because they're strengthened. But all that is coming from the perspective that there's a nituk happening here. The way the stipler learns the sugya, the cheshbon comes out that in rejecting abayis raya, we're falling back on the other understanding of nituk la'asei, which means not that the asei is menatek, but that the lav is unlike lav de chasima. Right? And that's why the asay could be far away, because it's not like lav dechasima. There's an asay somewhere, and that makes the lav different than lav dechasima. So now, Temura gets Malkus. Why does Temura get Malkus? So we're saying because one asay is not menatik to lavin. I understand. Lamaisa, the lav is different than lav dechasima. The lavin of Temura, there's an asay connected to it. So how do you suppose you have Kodesh? What does it mean, one, the asay is not menatik to lavin? The lavin are different because the lavin have an asay connected to it. Like, what does it mean? You have to now take the Gemara in a whole different way than anything we've been thinking until now. Or both say, how come? According to the Stipler, the cheshbon of the Gemara comes out if we are now deflecting Abayis Raya, and we're once again assuming that the asay need not be next to the lav. Translating into saying that the problem of nitak la'asei not getting malchus is the fact that the lav is unlike, it's not like lav dechasima. No, so what about Temura? So why is Temura get malchus? Because there are two lavin and one asay. So one asay is not menatik two lavin. How does that address the issue we're discussing? Lamaisa, the lavin of Temura, they have an assay with it. But obviously, what you have to say is that yeah, but only one lav has an assay with it. So only one lav is different than lav de chasima. But the other lav is still available and fits the criteria of lav de chasima. So very different types of the words of the Gemara. That lo asi assay menatik trei lavin means that when you have an asay and two lavin, so one lav is different than lav de chasima because it has an asay, but you can only latch on the asay to one lav, and now you can separate and isolate the other lav and imagine it doesn't have an asay to it, and therefore that other lav has a profile that fits perfectly with lav de chasima. A very different reading of the Gemara, totally different take on those words. Of lo'asi asev natek trei lavin. You know, you have to go back to a whole different template of nitak la'asei, and you have to explain the Gemara to mean that, well, this lav is unlike lav dechasima because it has an asei, but the other lav, it's as if I don't see the asei relating to it. That's a chidush in my mind. Because, you know, l'maisa, the two lavin are there, and the asei is right side by side with the two lavin. So from the perspective of defining the lav, like or not like lav dechasima, why would you say such an idea that the second lav, oh, that is like lav dechasima, because I only see the lav connected to that say on one lav, not the other. Okay, that was my little close parenthesis. Okay, Alec, yeah, go.
Wouldn't it make sense to isolate it only if the lavin are not smuchen?
Yeah, if anything, you're tying fakar. You're making my kasha stronger. You're saying, yeah, you're making my kasha stronger. You're saying it's even bigger chiddush. Were the two lavin separated, then I could more readily see the lav that has the assay in one box and the lav somewhere else without the assay in a different box, and that's like lav de chasima. Right, and here it's two lavin next to each other, and we're saying, you're saying it's counterintuitive, and we're still saying, well, the assay is only going to reconfigure this lav to define it as not similar to lav dechasima. I didn't see anyone ask this on the stipler, but to me, it comes out in the cheshbon of the stipler. They have to read the Gemara in a totally different way. The emesis, as we alluded to yesterday, the two approaches in lav nitak la'asei that we're presenting as like a dichotomy, as two different worlds, it's not simple at all. We're going to have to get back to this. The chayra, it's not pasha to assume that these are two different ideas, it's so distinct. I the Tosis and Tamura, no, we'll have to figure out. We'll have to come back and maybe say another Pshat. But Lamaisa, we had the Steibwitz Pshat. It's certainly a good opening in the Sugya, but this is a strong Ha'ara. How do you read the next line of Gemara in light of the Steibwitz Cheshbon of the Sugya? Okay, but that's all again. I don't want anyone to get too tumult for tumult. Let's come back in our Sugya. We brought the Ritva in because we simply wanted to know what would Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Bachana do with the riot from Tamesh Nechas Lamidbash. So we basically wanted to say that the Teretz of Tosus that was used earlier, they wouldn't accept. And by, I guess you could add the other Teretz as well, they wouldn't accept. We had a Teretz in Tosus Shans, that you don't have the notion of a Tikkun, of a Nituk Lasei, when it's a passive love, they would disagree. Tosus had said that the notion of, they would say that the Svar, that one Asei is not Natik to Lavin, only applies when it's a passive lav. They would extend it even to a lav which is not passive. Again, but whatever teretz you'll see before, they would reject it. Okay, so we have a kasha that Rabbi Yochanan felt would force him to disagree and change track from what he said before. L'chayre, here you see that you can get Malkus, that you can be pater from Malkus, rather, on a lav shekadmo asay. It's no different than nitzak asay. So the Gemara is going to push back and say it's not so. And the basis of everything that's going to follow in the sugya, different ways to get to the same destination, all going to try to bring out that we can figure out that there is the equivalent of a separate assay that would exist specifically on the case of after Gerishin. So in other words, what you thought was a Kadmo assay is really a Nitak assay. That's basically the outline of what's coming. The Shaila is how to get to that point. So the Gemara starts as follows. Amar Ula, says Ula, the following. Lo yomar lo siya li'isha ba'onis. You see, those words in the Torah, that is the mitzvah that ma'anes should marry the woman, shouldn't have to be stated. The Torah shouldn't have to say lo siya li'isha at all. In other words, what does he mean? And what would it say? What would it say?
Just don't.
This banish the woman. What would it say in the Torah? He has to give her the chamishim kesef. That it would say. What else would it say?
Well, that you should divorce her after.
Because a lot of you can't learn from the kal v'chomer. We know that, right? Eimah sir min adin. So you wouldn't have you would have to tell me the fact that he can't divorce her, but it wouldn't have to state mefurish lo siya li'isha. Why not? That I can learn, that mitzvah, lo silisha, I can learn from the kal v'chomer. V'ligma mi motzi shemra. How so? What's the kal v'chomer? Umma motzi shemra. Shelo asa maise. Amar rachmana v'lo silisha. Motzi shemra did not involve a maise. And the Torah also uses the words v'lo silisha as a mitzvah for the motzi shemra. Ones lo koshikin. What is the case of motzi shemra? It's all in parashas Kiseitse. They're not too far from each other in the Torah. Actually, first you have Motzi Shema. The parasha is Motzi Shema Alishto, that he says that she was not that she was Mizana between after the Erisin. He says she was not a Besula. So he's Motzi Shemra, and he comes to Beis Din, and he makes this declaration. And Beis Din has to do their Grishas Vachakiras, different ways to understand exactly the nature of the process. Let's assume there were Edom involved. The Edom came, and then you have to know who brings Edom and who's Mazin. Who's Mazim, who's Edim, all different sugyas and shas to work out exact give and take of the story. At the end of the day, the Torah says, if it turns out that he is lying, what the truth that emerges is that she, in fact, was not Mizana and he was Motzi Shemra Lishto, the result of this is the following, a few things. We had this in the first paragraph, if you remember, Dav Dalet. So first it says, V'lakuzik the year, especially Yisroso. The Yisroso means to discipline him. We have a drasha on the Yisru also to indicate what onus does he get. The Yisru, who remembers, the Yisru also means what?
Malkus.
The Anshu also me'acheses, and there's also Chiyuv Knas and me'acheses. There's the Loke u'mishalim that you see by Motzi Shemra. And on top of that, the Lo Siya Li'isha. Same halacha as we saw by onus, Lo Siya Li'isha, Lo Yuchal Shachal Kol Yama. So Mama is the same identical Russian that you have by onus, which is a few sukkim afterwards. What I just read is sukkim Yud Gimel through through Yutes, Perkhabes, and later on you have Pasuk Chavches through Chavtes. That's the Pasuk of Ones. The Lo Siel Isha Tachas Asher Ina Lo Yuchal Shalcha Kol Yamav. Not the same Russia. So what Ula is saying is, the Torah didn't have to tell me the words Lo Siel Isha by Ones. We just say Lo Yuchal Shalcha, and the mitzvah Lo Siel Isha would already be learned from a Kal V'Chomer. What's the Kal V'Chomer? That Moshe Shemra is Kal, because there was no Maisa. What does it mean there was no Maisa? Because what's involved is just Dibur. And as the Ritva points out, even though we find sometimes in Shas that when you have a Dibur that leads to a Maisa, there is a certain quasi-status of a Maisa, but it's not the same level Maisa as a Maisa Gomor. So relative to Ones, it's considered Lo Asa Maisa. And the Torah gives us this halacha of Lo Siel Isha. Obviously, the halacha of Siel Isha is defined as a kula or a chumra. Now, Rabbi will say, what's obvious in the Gemara? To make a kavu chomer from the kal of Lo Siel Isha and the chumra of Ones is to assume that the din that we're learning out is a what? Is a kula or a chumra?
A chumra.
Chumra. What exactly is the nature of the chumra? To speak out from the Ritva, what's the nature of the chumra here? Does the Ritva, because we're kofa him. Whether he likes it or not, whether he likes her or not, whether he likes to stay married, likes to marry her, let's say she has a limp, let's say she has a defect, whatever it might be, lemaisa, that is the halacha. He has no choice. She has a choice, not him. So that's considered a chumra in din. And the chumra exists even by the case of Moshe Shemra, which is kal. And so obviously, a kal v'chomer, that an ones would also have the mitzvah of Losiel Isha. So now, why did the Torah have to say separately, we'll see the Isha by Ones? Lama Nemar, read the parentheses, in Eina in Lefanav, Tneu in Le'achalav. You don't need to see the Isha to speak about the case where he had not yet married her. Because that you come from Motzi Shemra. Rather, make it go to a place of after the fact, in Giresh Yavzir. Something else to think about before we read the Rashi. What is the Kal V'Chomer telling me? That the Ones has a mitzvah to do what? Lefanav. He has a mitzvah. The Kal V'Chomer tells you he has a mitzvah to marry her. And where do we get it from? A Kal V'Chomer from where? From Moshe Shemra. What's the mitzvah of Lo Siel Isha by Moshe Shemra? To marry her? Or to stay married to her?
To
stay married. So how can you learn a Kal V'Chomer? Not even. No, what you have in Moshe Shemra is a mitzvah to stay married. The mitzvah by Ones that we're trying to use a Kal V'Chomer to learn out, that you don't need Lo Siel Isha for the initial marriage, so that's talking about learning Kal V'Chomer to Shemra that he should marry. What kind of Kal V'Chomer is that? L'chor, it's not the same thing. Achronim asked the question. Shu, I think. L'chor, what would be the pshat? Could be, the answer is the Lo Siel Isha Moshe Shemra had, along the lines of what we said before, the Lo Siel Isha Bein Ba'ones Bein Moshe Shemra has within it halacha not just to stay married or to marry initially, but to remarry, as we said before by Ones. The whole sugya begins with the assumption that Lo Siel Isha exists after Gerushin. Right? So that's true by Ones, it's true by Moshe Shemra as well. So if the Lo Siel Isha by Moshe Shemra can also entail marrying her when she's not married, because what would be if he divorces the woman? So the Lo Siel Isha is also requiring him to remarry. So there is a Hechatimsa in Moshe Shemra within Lo Siel Isha that would require him to take her back. So to the extent that Lo Siel Isha Moshe Shemra also has within it remarrying, so we can use the Kal V'Chomer to Ones to talk about the initial marriage. Because in both cases, we're talking about marrying someone who's not currently married to you. I think that would be the simple answer. I don't remember what Yeshua says, but the Chayra, that would be, to me, an answer. That the Moshe Shemra also includes a case of remarrying, so therefore it allows us to use the Kal V'Chomer to learn out that the Ones should marry her initially. So because we would know Kal V'Chomer, by way of Kal V'Chomer, that the Ones has a mitzvah of Lo Siel Isha, so why does the Torah write Lo Siel Isha? We would know it's Moshe Shemra. Says the Gemara, im eina inyan Lefanav, you don't need it for the case of the initial marriage. So the Torah would be speaking to the case of after Gerish. And therefore, we have now transformed this L'Siel Isha vis-a-vis the L'Yishcho Shalcha from being a package called Rav Shekadmo Asay into a Rav Sheh Nitak Asay. Let's look at Rashi first. Rashi says, Omar Ula, Hai Rav Sheh Nitak Asayhu. This is Nitak Asay, Di'i Rav in Tukei Ravi Asay. It's not coming to, again, to be attached or to fix the Rav Asahaya say, if that's it's not coming for that, Rav the Mitzvah Chamichtavei, it wouldn't have to be necessary to write it. The Ilat Chilasso, if it's for the initial marriage, Veloma Shisa Ena, Lo Yomer Lo Siyali Isha, the Nigma Mimotzi Shemra, the Sibbe Nami Lo Siyali Isha, Lo Yuchal Lishalcha. It's written over there as well, Lo Siyali Isha, Lo Yuchal Lishalcha. Interesting, Rashi brings the Yuchal Lishalcha in as well. Could be to me Miramis to what I just said. I don't know. Maybe Rashi brought it in because Rashi wants you to know Lo Siyali Isha of Motzi Shemra is even after the Lo Yuchal Lishalcha. So why do you need Lo Siyali Isha of Ones? And the Ena in Lefnei Agerishin, you don't need it to be relevant to Lefnei Agerishin V'Lomash Isha Ena. Neu Inyan, you can now make it apply to Achar Agerishin Lomar Shim Shilcha Yachzirena. After divorcing her, you have to take a bath V'Tiyah Lo Li Isha V'Yipatim In Alav, and that will exempt him from the Malkus. From the Malkus from the left. How does this solve our problem? So, in terms of defining Kadmo Asay from the perspective of you could have been Mekayim the Asay before the left. So, I think that's pretty straightforward. If that's the definition of Kadmo Asay, or if that's right, if that would be Kadmo Asay through that, or you need that as part of the building blocks of Kadmo Asay, so that falls apart because over here, the assay that we're defining here in Lo Siyali Isha is not the assay of beforehand. That I know from a Kal Vachomer, but the assay is specifically the assay of after Gerishin. So that assay is not an assay that you would fulfill beforehand. That the assay is discussing specifically remarrying. So that's enough to call it Nita Glassay not Kadmo Assay. What about the other understanding of Kadmo Asay, the Pashup Shat? What's Kadmo Asay? If the Asay is written before the Lav, if that's the sole definition of Kadmo Asay, or if you assume that either that or the other one could make it Kadmo Asay, how does Ula solve the problem? At the end of the day, where does it say the words Lo Siyali Isha in the Pasuk? Before or after Lo Yuchal Lishalcha? Where does it appear in Chumash?
Before.
What, when you read the Gemara, what did you think? What's the pshat? How do we solve the problem? The Kadmo Asay, it's written before. So you're creating now the paradigm that's going on the case of afterwards. I understand, but the mice of the words appear before. Well, what's the pshat in the Gemara?
Only according to Rashi's interpretation, the way that we learn it, that Shekadmo Asay is that practice that it can be done before. That's the only time that we're saying that it's considered a lavanita class. Now it's considered a lavanita class A.
So according to Rashi, it's good. That's what I started with. According to Rashi, that the definition would be either completely or partly depending on the fact that the essay could have been fulfilled before. So this new Osiyali Isha that we're defining in the Pasuk, we're reading into Osiyali Isha specifically referring to the case of after Gerishin. So from that perspective, the assay that we're discussing is not an assay that couldn't be fulfilled before. It's specifically the assay of after Gerishin. It's remarrying. So then everything is good. My problem is according to the other understanding, we have to keep thinking back to the other possibilities. The other way to learn the Gemara's Kadmo Asay is about being placed in the Chumash before. Either that's the entire definition or the way the Ritzel seem to assume it would be one or the other would be enough to label it as Kadmo Asay. So how have we gotten out of a problem? The end of the day, the words of Silisha are written beforehand. So, Chayr, what do you see in the Gemara? What do you have to say? Alec?
Can you say that the Mashmaus, although the word could be put for after, Achra?
I think you're on the right track, but I want to, when you say it stronger, what are you
talking about? By Shiluach HaKeim, he saw the Machlokas. between Rehuda and Rabbanan.
There it's better. There it's written afterwards. That's no problem. There Rabbi Yehuda took it and said it's going on before, but the Asay is written afterwards. So that's the flip of our, that's like maybe the opposite of where we were going. We have the words L'Siwa Isha first, and then L'Siwa L'Shalcha. There it says L'Sikach, and then Shalach L'Shalach. No, what, yeah, anyone else? Yes, Harya. No? No, just stretching. Okay. Anyone else? What's the look, I both say, tell me Pashad, yeah, we can't go on another line of Gemara. I mean, what? We have to stop right now. We can't go weiter, but. No, Benjamin, you have some veterans here to help us out. No? You got to save us here. What's the pshat? Yeah?
I was thinking with my chavrusa that maybe it's still a little different than when the Yishlachum and Amachana, because now it's the drasha telling us that the words of the pasuk really mean afterwards. So I mean, but I wasn't sure because the pasuk is still the word. If what the Rebbe is saying is you just go by the words of the pasuk, that's it, then it won't help.
Eliar, what do you say, Eliar?
I don't know. I mean, I have to think about it. I don't know.
I don't know, but I have a thought. I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like just piggybacking, on the veterans. I was just thinking. I mean, maybe that we can just reinterpret Ritva then. If we reinterpret the Ritva to mean that we go based off the order of the psukim in terms of how the psukim frame things, not literally how the words are put in the order, then it's not a problem on the Ritva anymore.
Okay, so maybe you mean this, I'll tell you. You tell me if you mean this on some level. What I think this means is the following. I think you have to know what in eno inyan means. You see, if you look in a Sefer Torah and you would write the words after Yuchel Shalcha, the Sefer Torah will be pasul. There's no doubt about it. When a Sefer writes the Chumash and the Pesukim, obviously he has to write those words first. When we talk about what's written first, it doesn't have to be Hilchos Sefer Torah. The issue is, how do we read the Pasuk in sequence? Now, in Eino Inyan means, I guess to use the parlance of computers, cut and paste. In other words, it's not going on this, it's going on that. Going on that is a saying that it's ki'ilu the Torah would have written it in the other place. It's not that if you wrote in the other place, Hilchos Sefer Torah wouldn't count. But the point is, from the perspective of how to read it, in eno inyan for this, tneu inyan, that's the words of the Gemara. So the point is that we have to imagine that the Torah put those words of Lo Yuchel Shalcha after, I'm sorry, the words of Lo Siri Isha after Lo Yuchel Shalcha. That's what Ulu will be saying. It's not just conceptual, but it's ki'ilu, it was written in the place that it belongs. So by slipping the placement, that's the equivalent of Nita Glase. Kadmo Ase means what's written first. But the Eino Inyan makes it ki'ilu, it was written second. Okay, you may or may not agree with me, like it, not like it. I don't have a better pshat, so I'm going to have to assume this is a pshat in the Gemara. Until I see something different or better, I would like to...
Are there other examples in Shas where we say that ki'ino Inyan and we kind of change order?
Yeah. It's like something has not been komo. Yeah, it's exactly the point. You have to go through, obviously, do a search of Eino Inyan. But my instinct says yes. I can't tell you right now the examples. It would be nice to find examples. But in Eino Inyan for this, it means it's again, you have to know if there's Anunafka Minus besides Pshat and Gemara. It could be there'd be relevant for other Inyanim. But it's the Pshat, you have to test out the theory. I'm putting it as a theory right now. In Eino Inyan, Tneu Inyan, it's a Midah B'Torah, right? There's Yud Gimel Midos, Shatan, and Dreshes Ben, as we know. There's also an expansive list of Lamed Beis Midos that you find also quoted in a Braisa. Again, one of those, the more expansive list of Midos Ketan Dresa in Eino Inyan. So you have to know methodology, main inyan. I'm suggesting, based on this Gemara, basically, that's my mocker right now. In Eno Inyan means, Tneu Inyan means, ki'ilu, it was written in the other place. So if I have a ki'ilu, that's what I need. I need a ki'ilu. I don't need Hilchos Sefer Torah being kasher the other way. I need a ki'ilu. If the Torah is, if the Midah Shaton Dreshes Ben is a Eno Inyan, which allows us to imagine the Lo Siyel Isha as applying after the Lo Siyel Isha, that's called Nitakase, not Kadmose. Okay, so this is the beginning of the Shaka Vitalia. Okay, let's see if we can proceed further. So this is Ula, the very beginning of the Sugya, that he wants to find the Lo Siyel Isha of Ones and apply it for after the Lo Yuchal Isha, because for before I have a Kavachomef Moti Shemra, which has the mitzvah, and it's lo asemaisa kavachomer onus. The Gemara says this kavachomer has a rebuttal to it, as a pircha. Like the Gemara, va'akati onus mosi shema lo gamar. This halacha of osilu isha that you want to learn from mosi shema to onus is not valid. You can't do this. The ikol mifrach. There's a pircha here. Why? Malo mosi shema shekein loke mishalim. There's a chumra mosi shema has over onus. That is the fact that you have a double ones, that usually you don't have two together, loke umishalim. We've seen, generally speaking, right, you don't have the two together. You have loke v'en umishalim, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Ksuvah Samid Beis. You have komishalim in a loke in certain instances, by Edim Zolman, as we saw. L'maisa, loke umishalim is considered a chumra. We had this in Davdalit. So therefore, that unique combination, loke umishalim, therefore it might also have the chumra of the Losiel Isha. But Onus doesn't have that chumra, therefore you can learn to Onus. Rashi says, "Ba'akati ha'itzdach u'mechtevei." No, I need the losir isha by Onus. Why? The yeshno in lefana, and therefore you need it for itself. Why? The il lefana, meaning by the case of lefana, meaning pre-gerishin, right? What's lefana? The acharav means after gerishin. After he violates the law, what's the fun of mean? The fun of means at the outset. You need it for the outset of onus. You couldn't get that from Motzi Shema. The ego kasvei, the Torah wouldn't save by onus for the beginning. Again, Rabosai, keep in mind though, the cheshbon we said, the lefun of also is mechayev him to take her back. We made this point at the beginning of the sukkya. No, not to make a mistake. The lefun of is also mechayev him to take her back. But it starts, the mitzvah is still defined as a lefanav. What we want to do is define a separate mitzvah going on the acharav alone. That's the lefanav of Rashi. The yeshu lefanav, the ilo kasvei, onis motzi shema lo gamar, da ano amina, I would say, mal motzi shema, dinu shik nisuhu lekansa. Here Rashi uses the lashon of knas, that the marriage is a knas, similar to the Ritva's lashon, it's a chumra. Rashi says, "Dinu shiyiknisuhu akansa," that you should penalize him to marry her. Shekein loka mishalim betchilaso. From the very beginning, he has this both punishments. Can you see v'yisro so v'anshu also? V'amin b'ksuvas v'yisro zemalkis. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's go the other way around. Ella, lo yomar lo siya li'isha b'motzi shemra, b'ligma be'ones. Let's go the other way. Let's now that you've established this special chumra that you find by Moshe Shema as an overwhelming chumra, loke mishalim. So let's make that the chamor, and let's make ones the kav. And so for the time being, the Gemara is ignoring the other side, that ones has a chumra of maiseh and Moshe Shema doesn't. For some reason, the Gemara is now turning the opposite direction and say, no, now that you're bringing up the Motzi Shema, having the Chum of Loka Mishalim, you couldn't learn from Motzi Shema, let's do the other way around. Now let's say the Torah didn't have to tell me, we'll see a Leisha by Motzi Shema. The Ligma Meones, how so? Kavachomer, Ma Ones in Loka Mishalim. Ones is weaker. Ones is a cow. Ones doesn't have the Chum of Loka Mishalim. Am Rachmana, we'll see a Leisha. The Torah still gave me the mitzvah, we'll see a Leisha. Motzi Shema, lo koshikain. Again, so the Torah should just say by Motzi Shema, and not have to state lo siyali isha. The lamanemar. So why does the Torah have to say the words lo siyali isha by motzi shemra? Emeno inu motzi shemra tnei lo onus. The Gemara says, Shamar jump ship. So we'll see how the Isha Moti Shema is not needed for itself. So what's it needed for? It's going on onus. Now, you don't need it for onus either. You have it by onus. Ah, but you have it only by onus for Lefana. In Lefana, pay in Le'achara. Strange, no? Because the Gemara skipped the loop, no? You read on the Gemara. What did the Gemara skip? The Gemara went from Moti Shemra to Ones, and from Ones Lefanav to Ones Le'acharav. What box did the Gemara not check? That's going to come up later in the Gemara.
Moti Shemra Le'acharav.
So this is interesting. The Ritva points this out. Later in the Gemara is going to ask such a kasha, but here the Gemara doesn't ask such a kasha. Apparently, right now, the Gemara is assuming that it would be better to assume it's going on Ones rather than a Moti Shemra Le'acharav. The Ritva makes an interesting point. He says, because what we're saying now is having the assay comes out of Chuma or a Kula, having the assay on Le'acharav. What results from having the assay Le'acharav, a Kula or a Chumra?
Chuma.
A Kula or a Chumra. Having the assay Le'acharav results in what?
Kula.
Why? Because now there won't be Malkus. Now, what is Chuma right now? Moti Shema or Onus? What are we considering to be more Chuma?
From whose angle? From the guy's angle?
No, well, in terms of the din, yeah. Well, yeah, from the guy's angle, which is more chamor? Which issue is more chamor? Moti Shemra.
Shemra, because you can't be mitak.
Says the Ritva, no, so we would rather use the essay that results in a kula not to get malchus to go on ones, which is kal, and not to go on Moti Shemra, which is chamor. So says the Ritva. Either way, that's the cheshvan of the Gemara. So we're going to go learn two Moti Shemra, and then therefore not need the Gosir Le'isha of Moti Shemra, and then use it to go and main an Inyan Moti Shemra to go on Ones. Ki'ilu was written there, but Ki'ilu was written where by Ones? At La'acharav. Rashi says, Ma Ones te'en a loke b'tchilasso. There's no loke in the beginning. Am Rahman Gosir Le'isha Moti Shemra l'kosikein. Now it's not going to be necessary for Moti Shema, it's necessary for Ones. You don't need it for Ones, the fun of Sheba. It's written there. Says the Gemara, and it's strange why the Gemara didn't occur to the Gemara this kash initially. The Gemara says, no, also no good. Because this Kavachomer also has a Piyacho. Moti Shema mi Ones, nami lo gamba. I can't win Moti Shema from Ones. The Eko Mifrach, what do you think? Yes, is Kal. And Moti Shema is Chomer because of Loke Mishalim. And if Ones has the Dino Asiyah Le'isha, Kavu Chomer Moti Shema. No, Ones has a Chumra. Ika L'mifrach, Ma Lon Tikin Asa Maise. It's a Peledik of Gemara. The Gemara originally made the Kavu Chomer the other direction, so the Gemara knew this. It's a question of Pshat. You have to know what the Cheshbon is. The Gemara ignores it, the Gemara comes back and asks it. What's the Nekudah here? Hard to know. The Gemara says a third try to figure out that we have a new marker of a pasuk of an assay after the last. Elo lo yom lo si elisha b'motzi shem ra. The following reason: it shouldn't have to say lo si elisha b'motzi shem ra shere ishtoli. Why does it have to say lo si elisha b'motzi shem ra? She is your wife. So obviously, lo si elisha. She's your wife. Lama nema. Why do you have to say with Yerisha there at all? In Rabbi Shema, Te'ilu in La'onis, must be going on Onis. V'meinu in L'fanav, because you have it already by Onis, Te'ilu L'acharav. Rashi says, if Ishto Hitcha, Kfar Kitcha Unisa. Yeah, here too, you have to ask a few questions here. So Ishto Hit. Maisa, we said before, that L'osiyah L'isha is not just Mechayev, the initial marriage by Ones, for example, but it's also Mechayev taking her back after divorce, right? The same mitzvah. So if a person who's a Moti Shema divorces his wife and doesn't take her back, what does he violate?
Moti Alisha.
He violates not just the Shalcha, but if he doesn't take her back, he violates the Osi Alisha. So, like, why not assume that the L'osiyah L'isha is it's the mitzvah that's violated if he doesn't keep her, if he doesn't take her back. Now, the Gemara asks a little bit of a different question. What the Gemara is asking is, use it to make a nituk lashay by motzi shemra, right? Make it a nituk lashay by motzi shemra, that there won't be malchus. Make it go specifically on later. I'm asking a different question. You need it, even though ishtohi, to tell me that you violate the losir isha if you don't take her back. I don't know. It's a different question. But the Gemara is asking, what gives you the right to bring it over to Ones? Let it be going on Motzi Shema le'acharav to tell me you're not getting Malkus. The Gemara says, okay, granted, let's even say that. In Achinami, let's use Losir Isa by Motzi Shema, which is, again, not necessary because she's already a wife. So let's use Losir Isa to go on later in order to create a nituk on the Lav. So there won't be Malkus in a case where he divorces his wife, who he was mostly shemra on. In Achinami, v'asi ones v'gamim mineh. And ones, we learn from that, that so too by ones, there'll be an asay that we may not take the lav, and you won't get Malkus. V'gamim mineh. Rashi says, what are we gamim mineh? Hot cup. Rashi says, just like Motzi Shema, you won't get Malkus after divorcing if you do the assay of taking her back. So now we're now at the same halacha by Onus, that you're Machziv in a loke. Says the Gemara, wait a second. How are you going to learn that halacha of Machziv in a loke from Motzi Shema to Onus? Then my Gama Mine. Ibe Kavachomer, Ibe Mamatzinu, Ike Lemifrach. Let's understand. What does the Gemara mean here? You have two possibilities to learn. What's the Kavachomer going to say? Now, here you have to think well. What are we trying to say? Look at Motzi Shemra, which is what? Which is Kav or Chomor? What do we want to say? It's Chomor in one respect. How is it Chomor? It's chomer in that it's lokel mishale. Rashi says, "Ibe kavachomer ma motzi shema shelokel mishale b'tchilaso." And yet, if he'll divorce her, ain't a lokel begerishin. B'tchilaso, when he's established to be libeling his wife, there'll be malchus. But if he divorces her, he doesn't get malchus because of the machzir, the mitzvah of losili isha to be machzir ain't a lokel. Onus lo kosheke. So what is a kavachomer? Kavachomer that Ones should not have a chi of malchus if he takes her back. That's the kavachomer. If it were mamatzinu, it would be straightforward. Binyanav, just like Motzi Shema, machzir ein aloke, so to Ones. What's the pircha? The pircha is no. Maybe there's a kula by Motzi Shema that explains why there's another kula. The other kula is that he doesn't get malchus. Malo Motzi Shema shekein lo asa naisa. This is not the kid. That's why the kid of Bachinan is probably not to be read, because here it's the opposite. It's the pircha of a kula of Motzi Shemra that could also explain the other kula, the other kula of not getting malchus. Okay, so finally the Gemara gets to the answer that remains, the maskana, just the words, and obviously the explanations will have to wait. Elo Amar Rava. Here we have the answer that Rava gives. The final way to figure out where do we have a nituk lasei by Ones. And l'choru hu adin motzi shema l'choru, based on the sugyas HaGemara. It says, kol yamav. There's two words that are written after l'yuchal l'shalcha. L'yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. He cannot divorce her all his life, all his days of his life. Kol yamav be'amod v'achzer. The entire life is, he has to take her back. The kol yamav allows us to understand that there's a separate mitzvah post garrison, and that's the nituk lasei. V'chein ki asad Rav and Amrav Yochanan kol yamav amod v'achzer. Now we have to explain what this means. Notice Rav Yochanan himself said it, which opens up the question: if Rav Yochanan was chozer before, Why was he chosen? He had an answer to his own kasha. The kasha from Onis has an answer. Rabbi Yochanan himself gave the answer. If the chazara in the beginning was Rabbi Baba Chana, then the kasha is not a kasha. Rabbi Yochanan said it, and he never had a chazara. He never retracted. Rabbi Baba Chana retracted, and then Rabbi Yochanan ends up saying what he really held. But according to Rashi, you have to say Rabbi Yochanan retracted, but then he came up with an answer, something like that, the Ritva says. What does it mean? Kol yama ba'amod v'achzer. So let's go with Rashi first. El amarav. Hadusanya ba'onis ma'zibein aloka. That halacha that we started with, the problem case, time of mishum dal kachach lachinika garse. It is lachinika garse. The amakra kol yamav. My kol yamav. What's the kol yamav doing? Kachi ka'amar. Lo tehei b'shiguchei kol yamav. What the Torah means is that this gerushin should not be a gerushin that should remain for his whole life, which is a way of saying that within the words Lichoshel Kol Yamav lies the Torah's mitzvah of taking her back, because by taking her back you ensure that it's not a shiruchel of Kol Yamav. El Yavziren Da'al Korchach Hamod V'Hasekamah. So it must be that the Torah is saying take her back. It shouldn't be a shiruchel of Kol Yamav. Vachi kama, the lo siyali isha, number one, lo siyali isha, that's the ikka mitzvah of lefanav. But now the Torah continues and says, v'im shilcha, lo yehei shiluchel l'chol yamav. It shouldn't be a shiluchin of kol yamav. Harei ha'sei achar havaras halav. So now we have the ha'sei after. This achar means achar in what sense, Rabosa? In what sense? In the sense of how it's written, or in terms of when it's fulfilled, or both? What's the achar? No, where is it? Both. Because Yochul Shalcha is the last Kol Yamav Amod Bazir. You can't be a shulchan of Kol Yamav, which is a way of saying take her back. So that's the point. So you have here, and I say after the lab, both in Ksiva, without a Ke'ilu. It's mamish in the pasuk there, even with Hilchos Sefer Torah it works. And in terms of the concept itself, okay, there's a lot. We get a lot of shaki v'taya, a lot of twists and turns. Obviously, you'll chazer over Shabbos just to get clear the Gemara. Any new Gemara, you should take a few times to get it clear, the back and forth and shaki v'taya. But at least we got through it just to have a picture a little bit. Okay, let's take a few minutes to do Parsha. Good. Okay, so let's.